Difficult to achieve.
Manusha.
Manusha.
Human.
Human.
Deha.
Deha.
Body.
Body.
Dehinam.
Dehinam.
For embodied beings.
For embodied beings.
Kshana Bangura.
Kshana Bangura.
Prone to be destroyed at any moment. Tatra.
Tatra.
In that human body.
In that human body.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Dulabham.
Dulabham.
More difficult to achieve.
More difficult to achieve.
Manye.
Manye.
I consider.
I consider.
Vaikuntha Priya.
Vaikuntha Priya.
Of those who are dear to the Supreme Lord Vaikuntha.
Of those who are dear to the Supreme Lord Vaikuntha.
Darshanam.
Darshanam.
The vision,
the vision.
Translation, and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Translation responsibly. For the conditioned souls.
For the conditioned souls.
The human body is most difficult to achieve.
The human body is most difficult to achieve.
And it can be lost at any moment.
And it can be lost at any moment.
But I think that even those who have achieved human life, rarely gain the association of pure devotees, who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Purport. It's a long purport, so everyone have to be attentive. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word dehinam means bahavo deha bhavanti yesham te. The conditioned souls who accept innumerable material bodies according to some wishful. The conditioned souls who accept innumerable material bodies. According to some wishful thinkers, a living entity in the human form of life will never be degraded to a lower form, such as that as an animal or a plant. But despite this wishful thinking, it is a fact that according to our activities at the present, we will be elevated or degraded by the laws of God. At the present time in human society, there is no clear or precise understanding of the nature of life. Foolish scientists have invented highly sophisticated terminologies and theories to bluff innocent people into believing that life comes from chemical reactions. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has exposed this bluff in his book Life Comes From Life, which points out that although scientists claim that life comes from chemicals, they cannot produce so much as an insect, even from unlimited quantities of chemicals. Actually, life and consciousness are symptoms of the spirit soul. In Life Comes From Life, page 43, Srila Prabhupada stated, living beings move from one body form to another. The forms already exist. The living entity simply transfers himself, just as a man transfers himself from one apartment to another. One apartment is first class, another is second class, and another is third class. Suppose a person comes from a lower class apartment to a first class apartment. The person is the same, but now, according to his capacity for payment or karma, he is able to occupy a higher class apartment. Real evolution does not mean physical development, but development of consciousness. Within every species of life there is consciousness, and that consciousness is the symptom of the living entity, who is the superior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without understanding this essential point of the transmigration of the conscious living entity throughout 8,400,000 species of life, one cannot possibly understand the words Dulabo Manusho Deha. The human body is very rarely achieved. People are now being cheated of this essential understanding. They are completely unaware of the danger of slipping back into the 8 million species that lie below the human species. It is natural that a human being think in terms of progress. We want to feel that our life is progressing and that we are advancing and improving the quality of our life. Therefore, it is urgent that people be informed of the great danger of misusing the valuable human life and that they know of the great opportunity the human life affords. The opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, just as on earth, Just as on earth, different residential areas are divided into high class, middle class and low class. Within the universe, there are upper class, middle class and lower class planets. By practice of the yoga system, or by meticulous execution of religious rituals, one can transfer himself to the higher planets within this universe. On the other hand, by neglecting religious principles, one will degrade himself to a lower planet. But the Supreme Lord Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahmana Bhuvana Loka Puna Avatinora Juna. Thus the final conclusion is that every planet within the material universe is an unsuitable and inappropriate resonance, because on each planet there are the primal defects of old age and death. The Lord assures us, however, that in his transcendental abode, which lies far beyond the material cosmos, life is everlasting, blissful, and absolutely cognizant. The material world is temporary, troublesome, and rife with ignorance. But the spiritual world, called Vaikuntha, is eternal, blissful, and full of perfect knowledge. The highly evolved human brain, is a gift given by God, so that we may use our intelligence to distinguish that which is eternal and that which is temporary. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:16, Na sato vichite bhavo, na bhavo vichite sataha, upayo api drishtam tas, tvanios tatva dashibi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that matter has no permanent existence, whereas the spirit soul never ceases to exist. Learned seers have concluded this by studying the nature of both. Those who have accepted the Supreme Lord and his abode as the ultimate goal of life are called Vaikuntha Priya. Here King Nimi states that to have the personal association of such learned transcendentalists is certainly the perfection of human life. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur suggests that we consider the following verse. Nrideham ajam su labham su durlabham plavam su kalpam guru karnadaram. Maya nu kulena napas vateritam puman bhavabdim nataret saatmaha. The Supreme Lord said, the best of bodies, a human body, is a great attainment, rarely achieved and may be compared to a boat. The Guru is an expert captain for this boat, and I have sent favourable winds, the Vedas. Thus I have given all facilities for crossing over the ocean of material existence. Any human being who has achieved these excellent facilities of human life but does not cross over the material ocean is to be considered the killer of his own self. Bhagavatam 11:20-17. According to Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, being controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, descend into the material world as Vaishnavas, to deliver the conditioned souls who are bound by the results of their own mundane work. Such Vaishnavas also distribute their mercy to those who are laboriously searching after the impersonal absolute. Sri Narad Muni has stated that without ecstatic love of Godhead, such laborious impersonal contemplation of the absolute is certainly troublesome. Naishkanyam apyachyuta bhava vajitam. And what to speak of the innumerable problems of ordinary gross materialistic life. We have practical experience in the Western countries. Most people are working hard to get money, labouring under heavenly dreams of sense gratification. Others, having become frustrated with ordinary materialistic life, are trying to negate their personal existence and merge into the existence of God through so-called yoga and meditation. Both classes of unhappy people are receiving the mercy of the Krishna consciousness movement, putting aside their dreams of sense gratification, as well as their troublesome impersonal speculation. They are learning to chant the holy names of God, dance in ecstasy, and feast on the holy food offered to the Lord. They become enlivened by the transcendental knowledge spoken by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, as the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita 9.2, Susukum Katum Avyayam. The actual process of spiritual freedom is joyful to perform and has nothing to do with fruitive activities aimed at sense gratification or with dry impersonal speculation. More and more people are taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, becoming joyful and eagerly distributing Krishna's mercy to others. Thus the whole world will be enlivened and inspired by the Krishna consciousness movement, which is the practical demonstration of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Omagyan timanandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena chasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Patantikam Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the root cause of material existence is what?
Sex desire.
Yeah. But what is the root of sex desire?
Body.
The body? Yeah, that's true. And what is the root of the body?
Envy of Krishna.
What's that?
Envy of Krishna.
Yeah, envy of Krishna. That's good. Enjoyment? Yeah, that's true. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, who is our foremost acharya and follower of Mahaprabhu, then in Nectar of Devotion, what is the cause of all suffering of material existence? Avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Yeah. Everyone is in ignorance. This is the disease which is covering all the conditioned souls in the material world, and therefore, because of this avidya or this ignorance, everyone becomes bound in the material world. And the nature of the material world is then everyone begins to think in terms of Maya. Maya means
that which is not.
You think it is one thing, but it is the opposite. In other words, you think it is eternal, but it is temporary. Because everyone in this world, people act as if they're going to live forever. This is the ignorance or the avidya which covers the world. Right? People think, I will live forever. And practically they spend their whole lives just decorating their apartments and not understanding that they will soon be kicked out of that apartment. The example sometimes we give is like you get on a train from Calcutta to Delhi. And then, in the middle of the night, you stay up all night decorating the apartment, your sleeper cabin, right? And you get everything set up nicely. You get your video, and you get your LCD? Is it? LCD. Get your LCD big screen, right? And you get your bar fridge, and you get your nice futon, and you get everything nice. You get the little satellite dish on the roof. No. And everything's just pukka, everything is perfect. And then you arrive in Delhi, and then the conductor comes and says, okay, off the train. And you say, what do you mean off the train? Can't you see all the work I've done? And they say, no, now it is not yours. You cannot stay here, it is temporary. That is the nature of the material world, and everyone is making an eternal plan, right, in a temporary world. Right? That is called Maya. Maya means that which is not. You think it is eternal, it is not eternal, it is temporary, it is illusion. And the nature of Maya is you think there is happiness where there is actually suffering. We've read in the third canto recently, in chapter 32, near the end, Srila Prabhupada, and one of his purports, he's discussing the nature of the material world while he's commenting on Lord Kapila's teachings. And the Lord Kapila Dev points out that some people are Vikamis, or Ugrakamis, which means they perform horrible activities. Just like we see in the world these days, people perform horrible activities. Their lives are horrible. Their activities are horrible. You work in factories, that's horrible. You eat flesh, that is horrible. That is Ugra karma. It's a horrible existence, and it just leads to a horrible future. There's nothing auspicious about it whatsoever. So Lord Kapiladev says you can live like that, or you can live piously. Means that you can perform yajnas and do tapasya and give dan, charity, and you can do all auspicious things according to Vedic injunctions. But still, if your ultimate goal is not Vaikuntha, if it is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what is the use of all of your activities? Practically speaking, it's the same, because you're still bound within the material world. You're doing pious activities or impious activities, you're bound within the material world. So Srila Prabhupada says in one of his purports, in this material world, nothing is good. Srila Prabhupada says, everything is bad. There is nothing good in this material world, because it is maya, it is a place of illusion. So some people think that I can be happy, and they perform activities which they think will give happiness. But the nature of the material world is that it does not give happiness, and the activities that you think will bring you the most happiness, they bring you the most suffering. That's the nature of the material world. That is called maya, or illusion. It looks like it is one thing, but actually it is exactly the opposite thing. You will think, this activity will give me the most happiness. If I indulge in this activity, if I perform this activity, if I fully absorb myself in this activity, I will be happy. But the nature of the material world is that it will give you the most suffering. Because that is the nature of the material world. So therefore, everyone in the material world, as Rupa Goswami explains, is caught in avidya. Avidya means ignorance. It's ignorance, right? Everyone is caught up thinking that, yes, if we do this, if we do this, if we do this, if I do this particular activity, I will be happy. And we see that no one is happy. Prabhupada says, it is all bad. Prabhupada doesn't even discuss relativity. He doesn't even say, oh, some is good and some is bad. He doesn't even give the material world an opportunity or a hope. Prabhupada just blankets the entire thing and says, it is bad. There's nothing good here. Don't think there's something good. If you think that is there is something good, that is maya, that is illusion. That means you are in illusion. Just like Giriraj Maharaj was one day walking with Prabhupada on Juhu Beach, and he was talking to Prabhupada. There was a group of devotees walking with Prabhupada on his morning walk. Giriraj Maharaj said to Prabhupada at one point, I'm sorry Prabhupada, I was in maya. And Prabhupada stamped his cane into the ground, into the sand. And Prabhupada said, you are always in maya. And then Prabhupada continued to walk. And Giriraj Maharaj just offered his obeisances on the beach and then ran to follow and catch up. So we are always in maya, because as long as we think that we can enjoy in the material world, then we are in illusion. We are thinking that which is not. That is avidya, and we are always covered by avidya. So there, as it says in the purport, that people are completely unaware of the dangers of slipping back into lower species of life. People don't understand what their activities are leading to. Just like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, what is nighttime for the introspective sage is daytime for the gross materialist, and vice versa. So whatever they think is good, it is actually bad. And sometimes, just like I remember when I used to live just behind the temple here, One morning I was getting up for Mangalati, you know, like 20 past 4, and I came out Saturday morning to come down to the temple for Mangalati. And my next door neighbour, he pulled up in the car and got out of the taxi. And he was coming home from his activities. And he got out of the car and he was somewhat intoxicated. And he said to me, he smiled at me and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going to the temple." And he said, "What are you doing that for?" And I said, "Because this is what we do." We get up early and we go to the temple. This is what we do. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, "You're crazy." And I looked at him and smiled. And he knew what I was thinking. Like that. It was obvious to him. Right. So that is the nature. People know what is crazy. Prabhupada wrote that essay in the 1940s. Prabhupada wrote the essay, "Who is crazy? Who is crazy? Is it you or is it me? Is it the devotee or is it the non-devotee? Who is crazy?" The non-devotee is crazy. Right? It is not the devotee who is crazy. The devotee is sane. Sometimes in the material world, the devotees feel outnumbered. We feel like we're in the minority. But actually, Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, he says, the devotees are in the majority. We have to understand this point. We're in the majority because three quarters of creation is sane. Right? Three quarters of the creation, right, is devoted to serving God. It's only one quarter who is, you know, in the mental hospital. It's not that everyone's, it's because we're living in the mental hospital, then we think, oh, this is natural. This is unnatural. This is not what life is actually like. It is not that all the souls are actually, this is not the nature of the soul to be like this. To be performing all these materialistic activities under the influence of the three modes of material nature. This is not natural. This is the unnatural state. So Srila Prabhupada arrived at the airport one time, somewhere around the world, and the reporter said to Prabhupada when Prabhupada arrived, "Swamiji, what have you come to teach us?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "I've come to teach you that which you have forgotten." Because Krishna consciousness is the nature of the soul. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema. Right? Nitya. Nitya means it is eternal. The nature of the soul is to be Krishna conscious. Krishna praying, to love Krishna. That is natural. Right? To forget Krishna, bahya mukh, means to turn your face on Krishna, to turn your back on Krishna. That is unnatural. That is not natural. This is the wrong place to be. As Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur says, the material world is no fit place for a gentleman. Srila Prabhupada has also said this. It is no fit place for a gentleman or a lady, the material world. Prabhupada explains, you just come here, you do your business, and you get out. So, as it says here in the purport, therefore, it is urgent that people be informed of the great danger of misusing the valuable human life, and that they know of the great opportunity the human life affords, the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. So it is an urgent situation. Just like last night in the Bhakti Vaibhav class, then we discussed the last chapter of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 33. And there are some very famous verses in that final chapter which discuss that simply if one chants the holy name of the Lord, even if one is born in the family of a dog eater, even if one is born in a very low situation, he can be transformed in his consciousness. He can become completely purified immediately. So therefore, the nature of devotional service or bhakti yoga, especially of chanting the holy name of Krishna, it is so powerful that it can completely purify and transform the consciousness of any conditioned living entity. Anyone can be transformed just by chanting the holy name. That is the potency of the chanting. That is the potency of the bhakti yoga process. It doesn't matter what one's defects are, what one's disqualifications are, all those things can be completely purified by the process of devotional service. So therefore Prabhupada is explaining in some of his purports in that section of the Bhagavatam in chapter 33. Srila Prabhupada says that out of emergency or out of great urgency, then Prabhupada explains he has had to initiate people who may be seen as coming from very fallen backgrounds, but Prabhupada is giving them this mercy or this initiation process because he is elevating them to a point that they can become spiritual representatives of the Parampara system. Meaning that Srila Prabhupada has, by the potency of the holy name and by the potency of the devotional process, he has made unqualified people qualified. And Prabhupada explains, why did he do that? Why is it necessary? Because Prabhupada says there is a great emergency all over the world. There is an urgency to preach this Krishna consciousness because the world is suffering more than ever before. Just like what has been the big news the last few days in the media.
Big Bang.
Yeah, the Big Bang. That's been, I think, secondary at this point in time.
Grand final.
Yeah, the grand final. If you live in this city. What's that? Yeah, the economy is crashing. The world economy is crashing. And everyone's like... Yeah, you see all the pictures on the front of the newspaper. You see the pictures of these people. You know, it looks like their mother has died or something. You know? And they're comparing it to the great crash of 1929 in America. When the American economy crashed last time, in 1929, in the Great Recession, there was such a great loss of money and so forth in Wall Street, it is said that it wasn't safe to walk down the street anymore. Because there were so many people jumping out the window and committing suicide because all their stocks had crashed, they said it was actually unsafe to walk down the street. And that wasn't an overstatement. It was actually not safe. You couldn't walk down Wall Street because there's so many bodies just smashing on the ground, you know, any time of the day, you know, probably every day, like five guys was jumping out the window because everything had gone. So the world is in a perilous situation. Right? It's not safe. Everything which they thought was secure and safe, it's not. Right? Everything is falling apart. Right? In America, they've already got to the point where they're rationing rice. Right? They're already running out of food. In Egypt, people are fighting and lining up in government lines to get bread because they're rationing wheat. It's already starting to happen. Everything that says in the Bhagavatam about the world crashing, it's already starting to happen. Don't be complacent. Don't think that everything's just going to go on and on nicely and Geelong will win the grand final and, you know, we'll drive Holden cars and, you know, it's okay and everything's just great down here. Things are going to fall apart. Materially speaking, it has to. There has to be reactions for all the ugra karma. There has to be reactions for all the impure activities that the world is performing. It's not possible for the reactions not to come. The reactions must come, and they are coming. And we're seeing, right now, we're seeing the signs, the initial signs. That's why I've been reading lately, because now one of our services is to develop the ISKCON farming communities. And Srila Prabhupada has emphasized that what are the necessities of human life? Prabhupada said the necessities of human life is food and shelter. And Prabhupada said this is the purpose of our farming communities, to have food and shelter. Because, you know, if the economy does crash and you can't get rice or wheat anymore, where's everyone going to come? Everyone's going to head back to the country because that's where they're growing the food. So therefore that's what Prabhupada said. If you solve that, you've solved the problems of life, you know. No one's going to come to a Hare Krishna farm, we hope, and take a photograph of some guy, you know, who looks like his face looks like his mother's just died, right? Because he hasn't got any food or he's, he's in so many problems in life. No? All these problems which people have, these are imaginary problems. Because their paper money has disappeared. Right? Now they're thinking, oh, my life is finished. But actually, the problem of life is, do you have something to eat today? That's the actual problem. You know, don't worry about your paper money and your stock has disappeared. Don't worry about that, or it's devalued. Right? The fact is, have you got something for lunch? That's the actual problem. Okay? Because you can live without your stocks. You can live without your paper. But you can't live without your broccoli and your chapatis. Right? This is the necessity. So therefore, these are the problems of life, and one has to solve these problems. So therefore, what Prabhupada is emphasizing here is that there is a necessity to preach. There is an urgency to preach. Because don't be complacent and think the world is okay. The world is not okay. And we're going to see in the next decade, most probably, the world go into great chaos. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing at the end of the third canto, out of urgency, right, out of necessity, right, out of an emergency, I am making those who are unqualified qualified. Because those who are unqualified, when they become qualified, they now have a mandate, or they now have a obligation on behalf of the disciplic succession to represent the absolute truth. And it's interesting, because Srila Prabhupada said in New York City, when he was riding in a taxi with Tamal Krishnamaraj, I think it was, he said that the Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON, will go down in history for saving humanity in its darkest hour. People are going to come to us for guidance. So therefore we have to become qualified. Are we qualified to give people guidance? Are we qualified to give people shelter? Right? And when you look at yourself, you know, we look at ourselves, we think, well, you know, if we're meant to save the world, you know, the world could be in big trouble. If we're meant to be the saviors of the world. But the fact is, some of us have to become the saviors of the world. This is what Prabhupada is expecting of us. He's expecting us to become purified by following the process of chanting and by following the process of bhakti yoga, becoming purified, that we can actually do some, we can actually benefit the world, especially when things become very dark, which they may become. So, as it is being mentioned here by King Nimi, here King Nimi states that, so King Nimi is saying, to have the personal association of such learned transcendentalists is certainly the perfection of human life. That is the perfection of human life, to gain the association of advanced Vaishnavas. Now that association can be taken in different ways. You can take that association through Vani or Vapu. Vani means through their instructions. Vapu means through their personal association. So we have to take the association of advanced devotees through their Vapu as much as possible. Because the Vapu is not always there, and you don't know how long you will have the Vapu. We're already beginning to see that many of the great transcendentalists are leaving this world. Just like if you go to Mayapur and you look at the Samadhi pit, you'll see that there are more and more samadhis being added every year. Right? Tamal Krishnamaraj has disappeared. Right? Gaurgovinda Swami has disappeared. Sridhar Swami has disappeared. Bhakti Tirtha Swami has disappeared. And the Samadhi pit is simply going to grow and grow and grow. So therefore, if you have the opportunity to get the association, right, of one of these great transcendentalists, then you must take that as the goal of your life. Don't take that for granted. You get as much Vapu as you can. Because the Vapu is not always available. So whenever you can get the Vapu, you take the Vapu. Right? You take the personal association of the great souls. Right? Because by serving their Vapu, you become attached to their Vani. By serving their personal form, you become attached to their instructions. That's how you become attached to someone, by doing service. Just like, how do you become attached to the deities? Right? You become attached to the deities by doing seva, or by doing personal service to the deities. Right? The more you serve the deities, the more you become attached to the deities. And similarly, the more that you serve the great souls, the Mahatmans, the Sadhus, the Guru, then the more you become attached to that personality. And then the deeper the instructions enter into your heart. Because most of the time, as Prabhupada explains, you cannot have the Bapu. Most of the time, you associate with the Vani, with the instruction. Now, to live with the instruction, that means you have to be very attached to the personality. Right? Otherwise, you won't, unless you're meditating on the personality continuously, right, then you cannot remember their instruction. And we see that's what happens with neophyte devotees. When the spiritual master goes away, right, they struggle. They find it very difficult to maintain their Krishna consciousness. But if you become attached to the personality, then even when they're away, you're still associating with them because you're meditating upon them constantly. And by constantly meditating upon them, then you remember their instructions. And by remembering their instructions, this is how you advance in Krishna consciousness. So, as it says near the end of the purport, that according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the eternal servants of the Lord, being controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, descend into the material world as Vaishnavas to deliver the conditioned souls who are bound by the results of their own mundane work. So we understand that all the members of our disciplic succession were personally sent here by Krishna, right, to deliver the conditioned souls. In Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangala, there is a beautiful story which is given. One time, Narad Muni, he came to see Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. Right? And Lord Jagannath instructed him to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Because he was interested in seeing the form of the Lord who would appear in Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatar. So then he travelled from Jagannath Puri in this material world towards the spiritual, to Goloka Vrindavan. And he got to Vaikuntha. And the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, said, I instructed you to go to Goloka. So then he offered his obeisances to Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, and then he went further to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So Narad Muni arrived there, and he came to see the form of the Lord who would appear in Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatar. And he saw Lord Krishna sitting in a golden form on a beautiful throne. Right? And he was surrounded by hundreds and thousands of his associates. And they were performing an Abhishek ceremony. And on one side was Srimati Radharani, and on the other side was Rukmini. And there were many, many gopis and many wives of Lord Krishna, and they were passing water pots in a line to Rukmini, who was on one side, and Radharani, who was on the other side. And they were bathing this golden form of Krishna. Beautiful Abhishek. Everyone was passing their pots and they were bathing this beautiful form. And the Lord, this beautiful golden Lord, he was sitting there enjoying this Abhishek in the midst of all of his associates. And then Narad Muni arrived. Maybe you guys can do a play about this. And then Narada, while he was, when he had arrived, the Lord said, Narada, why have you come? He said, I've come to find the form of the Lord who will appear in Kali Yuga, this golden form. So the Lord said, yes, very soon I will appear within Kali Yuga. And I will come in this form. And I will send all of my associates. So we understand that all of the members of our disciplic succession are eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. So then the Lord announced to all of his associates, he said, very soon all of us will go to the material world to spread Nam Sankirtan. And when we go to the material world, he said, some of you will appear before me. Just like Madhavendra Puri and Jagannath Mishra and different associates, they appeared before the Lord's appearance. And then he said, most of you will appear with me. To assist me in my pastimes. And then he said, some of you will appear after me. And you will continue to preach this message, which I have delivered to this material world. So, then he said that many of the living entities, they will flee when we begin to preach this Nam Sankirtan. And he said they will even cross the ocean and go to Western countries. They will go away. But he said, I will send my Maur Senapati Bhakta. I will send my commander-in-chief of the army. And he said he will chase them to every corner of the globe. And he will chase them with the Lord says, with the chopper or with the axe of Nam Sankirtan. Right? And with this axe he will cut all of their material attachments. The Hridaya Grantim, everything within the heart that binds us to this world, all the ignorance, he will cut that. So who was
Prabhupada?
So Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada was there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the middle of that scene with Radharani and Rukmini bathing him and the other sect, hundreds of thousands, and Mahaprabhu singled him out amongst all the associates. And he said, I will send him. Right? And he will chase everyone around the world. Even if they try to escape, he will chase them with the chopper of the Harinam Sankirtan and cut all of their material attachments and deliver them back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada once said that he had an argument with Krishna before he came to this material world. Srila Prabhupada said to Krishna, I don't want to go. Because Prabhupada said, I don't like to perform austerity. And Krishna said, you just go and I will take care of everything. He said, you just go. I will take care of everything. So then Krishna won the argument, and then Prabhupada went like that. And then he chased everyone all over the world. Coming out of India at the age of 70. You know, Mahatma Prabhu is 70. This is when Prabhupada was starting the Hare Krishna movement. 70 years old. He got on a boat by himself. Right? Went across the ocean with $8. Right? And had two heart attacks on the boat. Prabhupada said, if I had have had a third heart attack, I would have died. And he actually told one of his associates, he said that after the second heart attack, Lord Krishna came and massaged his chest all night. And Prabhupada said, if I had have had a third heart attack, I would have died. He said, Krishna massaged his chest all night. Right? And then he got through. Right? Krishna said to Prabhupada in the spiritual world, you just go and I'll take care of everything. And then he arrived in America and Prabhupada got off the boat in New York. Prabhupada said, I did not know where to turn, left or right. 1965 in America. Right? And then Prabhupada said, I would regularly go back to the ports and I would see when the boats are returning back to India. Right? So much Maya, New York City. And Prabhupada alone. But then Prabhupada thought, no, I will stay another day. I will stay another day. I will try to preach the message of my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur. And then you read in the Lilamrita that within that 65, then Prabhupada in 67, he became sick and he went back to India for several months to heal his health. And then when he came back again in 68, that's when the movement really took off. Right, and he sent his first disciples across to London. Three Grihastha couples. And those three Grihastha couples, they met the most famous man in the world. George
Harrison.
Right, and with his help, the Hare Krishna mantra became number one seller all over the world. I think it reached number five in Australia on the charts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Whole world, holy names spread. And Prabhupada was so proud when he came to London and he met his three Grihastha disciples who had been there for 1 year before he came. And he said, what my sannyasi godbrothers could not do, all of you have done. That is the potency. So that's what Prabhupada was expecting. Prabhupada said, it's an emergency. Those who are unqualified, he has made them qualified. Now you represent the disciplic succession. Now you take these teachings and you spread them as far and wide as you can. You assist Prabhupada in taking the chopper all over the world, right? Wherever people flee, wherever they try to run and hide, follow them and give them the chopper and give them a samosa and give them a book. Wherever they try to go. Just like today, where are they all trying to go to escape?
Melbourne show.
They all go to the Melbourne show to escape. And we're already there, we're waiting for them. with spinach pies. Come. We've already surrounded you. Just like Prabhupada, one time he said, one reporter said to him, he arrived at the airport, one reporter said to Prabhupada, is your movement spreading? And Prabhupada said, like wildfire. And he said, whenever they run around and try to put out a fire, we light another one. So wherever they try to put out this movement, right, it comes up somewhere else. It is taking over the planet. Factually, it is taking over the planet. Because Kali Yuga has no other hope. And Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON will go down in history as saving humanity in its darkest hour. That time hasn't come yet. We don't know when that time will come, but Prabhupada has said it, it will happen. Right? The world will become very dark, right? And then something major will happen, right? And ISKCON will be there to save the world. One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what will we do if there's a war? And Prabhupada said, we will distribute books. He said, before the war, we will distribute books. After the war, we'll distribute books. That's what we do. We just keep preaching. Right? The world's going to come and go. Right? Good and bad will come and go. Right? Nature of the material world sometimes is good, sometimes is bad. It doesn't matter for the devotees. Good or bad is not the point. Right? The point for the devotees is Krishna consciousness spreading? Is the avidya, is the ignorance in this world, is it dissipating? Right? Is Prabhupada's chopper being taken further and further around the world? Like that. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
One comment. Last year I was in Vrindavan and Japata Goswami, my guru Maharaj, gave a very nice lecture after initiating 100 devotees, very big function in the Krishna Ramadhanji. And the most important thing is that chanting the holy name increase your bank balance in that account. That's what we're saying. We have to increase our bank balance in that account. That will take us to spiritual growth. That is the only way.
Any other questions or comments?
If you see the consciousness of the person, as you said, that even dog eaters and all, they can take up the process of Krishna consciousness. Is it possible in one lifetime, such a low consciousness, they can elevate to a higher consciousness, in the topmost consciousness?
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible. One lifetime.
It's possible. Srila Prabhupada, he said that Krishna consciousness is not static, it is ecstatic. It is something which is so dynamic, it can purify even the lowest people. Even in one lifetime, it's possible. It all depends on bhakti or devotion. Jiva Goswami makes a comment, because these verses in the 33rd chapter of the 3rd canto, they're very famous verses. So it says that the holy name can purify one, even a dog eater, if he chants sincerely. It's to do with the quality of the chanting, that's the whole point. This is what the acharyas explain. It's the quality of the chanting which makes the difference. But if someone chants very sincerely, attentively and inoffensively, then Jiva Goswami, that brings him to the point, Jiva Goswami says, that brings him to the point of purification. And he says from that point, he requires further training. So it means that if he becomes qualified and the guru sees he's qualified and the guru trains him, and devotees train him, that person can become fully liberated even in this lifetime. That's the potency of the process. Even Prabhupada says there's the example of the dog who was part of Shivananda Sen's party, and he walked from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri with all the devotees for 1 month who were walking to see Mahaprabhu in Puri. And the dog came, and then the day before they got to Puri, the dog disappeared. And then when they got to Puri, they saw the dog was there with Mahaprabhu already, and Mahaprabhu was eating coconut pulp, and he was throwing bits of the coconut pulp to the dog, and the dog was eating that. And the Lord was saying, chant Hari, Hari Bol, like that. And then the next day the dog was not there, and everyone understood the dog had gone back to Vaikuntha. So what to speak of a dog, even a dog eater, sorry, not to speak of a dog eater, even a dog can go back to the spiritual world. Even in one life. It's possible. That's the potency of the process. Any other question or comment?
Often you have a phrase, fantastic story. And I remember I was just pointing out to the devotees, I heard about creation, how, you know, the universe was created. So it often takes a lot of faith and to be able to put aside all these words for so many lifetimes to accept it. So how do we deal with when we come across something we don't understand, what type of faith or assumptions or whatever, how do we deal with that person?
One time, Prabhupada was describing the creation, not long it might have been 1977, not long before Prabhupada left this world, and he was describing that he wanted the Bhaktivedanta Institute to show how the universe is formed or shaped according to the description in the Bhagavatam. And it has all these descriptions which are very amazing. So the devotees were talking with Prabhupada, and some of the devotees were obviously doubting. You know, and Prabhupada said, you are simply prejudiced. And he said, you are prejudiced. You've been influenced by the materialistic thinkers, the materialist society, and what they have told you in your childhood. And now when you come to the Bhagavatam, you're prejudiced. And you'll take that version over the version of the Bhagavatam. So why does the Bhagavatam speak these things? Why are they there? In particular, the acharyas mentioned that the fifth canto is actually a testing ground for everyone who is studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it tests the faith of the readers. Not only the fifth canto, but the second canto and the third canto. Practically many things in the Bhagavatam test our faith. So many descriptions which are beyond our purview or beyond our ability to perceive. So the acharyas describe these things test our faith. Because we have to, at that point, then we have to decide, do we have faith in this version of the Bhagavatam, in God, in God's word, or do we have faith in our material intellect or in material authorities? Just like one time Prabhupada was sitting just there, I think 1974, and Prabhupada was sitting there and he was giving a lecture, and he described in the lecture how there are huge eagles which fly in between planets. And as they enter into one planet, they lay their eggs, and the eggs come into the atmosphere. And as they come to the atmosphere, the friction of coming into the atmosphere burns them up, and the eggs hatch, and the huge eagle babies, the baby eagles come out. And those the baby eagles, their mothers feed elephants. They come down, they pick up elephants, and they feed elephants to their baby eagles. So Prabhupada described that in the lecture while he was sitting right here. And at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada said, are there any questions or comments? And then everyone was looking at Prabhupada, And then one of the devotees put up his hand to Prabhupada. He was speaking about eagles and elephants and all these things. And then the devotee was saying, and Prabhupada said, yes. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, you're explaining all these things. How are we meant to understand all this? And Prabhupada, and he was saying something to the effect, is all this true? And Srila Prabhupada said, what would you know? You are still in the womb of your mother. In other words, we're in ignorance. And now we're dealing with something which is achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. Right? It is so powerful, it's beyond our estimation. Right? Devahuti was, last night we were reading in the Bhagavatam, Devahuti was praying like this to Lord Kapila at the end of his teachings, saying, you are effectively achintya. You are inconceivable. Right? How you are so powerful, you are beyond our estimation. How powerful you are. You're just, you know, we can't even estimate. So when Krishna does all these things, you know, when the universe has come from the pores, you know, when he creates, you know, the eagles which, you know, pick up the elephants, and, you know, it's just, there's unlimited things within the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, it says, on the side of Mount Meru, then the mangoes, when they fall from the trees, they land on the ground, they're so huge that they create rivers of mango juice. This is our scripture. It's not like, you know, Sunday morning at church, you know, reading the Bible. You know, they're like, this is our scripture. This is the kind of thing where that's put in front of us every day. But for a simple-hearted devotee who has implicit faith, because spiritual life is all based upon faith. That's the only thing it's based upon. Shraddha. It begins with Shraddha and it rises through prema. And prema is nothing but complete faith. So it's a test of faith. That's what the whole thing is. And the story is given in the Shastra. Narad Muni went to the spiritual world on behalf of the cobbler and the brahmana. And when he came back, the Lord said, tell them I was threading a elephant through the eye of a needle. Right? And when he came back and he came to the brahmana, he said, what was the Lord doing? And Narad Muni said, the Lord was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. He said, impossible. Right? And then he said, when will I go back to Vaikuntha? And he said, the Lord said it will take you many lifetimes. Because his faith is not developed. And then he went to the cobbler and he said, what was he doing? And he said, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler said, that is wonderful. Wonderful, my Lord can do that. He said, when will I go back to Vaikuntha? The Lord said, you will come back very soon. Spiritual life is based upon faith. So we all have to read these things. And these things, the Lord Krishna purposely puts these things in the Bhagavatam to test us. Yeah? And whenever you see a picture of Krishna, Krishna is always smiling. Right? Because he's smiling, he's looking at us. And he's saying, you know, I put all these things there, what do you think? What is your opinion? Do you accept it? Right? And just with a simple heart, if we accept these things, if we have faith, yes, it is all true. Yes, at this universe we're in is 50% filled with water, right? Right, and within that water there is a huge Vishnu lying on a ananta, a sesh, right? And from his navel comes the lotus flower. And Prabhupada says in the second canto that lotus flower is the Milky Way. And when I'm at the farm, my sense gratification is I go out at night time and I look at the Milky Way. And when the sky is clear and I can see all the stars. Right? It's so beautiful. So it's amazing. Right? And you can see the whole Milky Way going. And that's the lotus of the... that's the stem of the lotus going up to Brahma Loka. The lotus, the flower itself, is Brahma Loka, Satya Loka. The 14th planetary system, or the first planetary system, the highest planetary system. So that is what's taking place, and we're all within that lotus. We're in the seventh planetary system, which is the earthly planetary system. So you can believe that or you can't. That's up to you.
Could you
Yeah, so Prabhupada said we should not follow blindly. But at the end of the day, faith is based on experience. It is not blind. Right? Just like some people, they say you have to have faith. You have to believe in Jesus. But that's just faith. That's blind. Just believing. Spiritual life is based on experience. Right? Now, what have we experienced in spiritual life? Right? And I know for myself and probably for most of the devotees, the reason we believe in all of these extraordinary things, all this achincha shakti, all these inconceivable things, is because we've met Srila Prabhupada. Either personally we met Prabhupada, or we met him through the Lilamrita. But when you read it, you have so much faith in this person. Right? We have so much faith in this person that if he says it, it's true, and that's it. Right? And it's not blind, right? It's based on experience. It's based on the fact that this person is pure. He is none different from Lord Jesus in the sense that he is on the same level. Right? He is a Shakt Yadesh Avatar. Right. And that is ISKCON. ISKCON means, and even the other Gaudiya institutions, either the other Gaudiya monks, they say about ISKCON, they say the thing that separates us and the reason why ISKCON is spreading far more than any other Gaudiya institution is because we have so much faith in our founder Acharya and we have so much faith in our guru. This principle of guru nishta. So it comes from faith in your spiritual master. If your spiritual master is not blind, but if your spiritual master says it is like that, then it is like that. And what does Prabhupada tell us? What do the Vedas tell us? What does the Bhagavatam tell us? The Bhagavatam says to us, Kaleya dosha nithe rajan asti hyeko mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangapuram. It says that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, then you will realize everything. Ishwara Puri said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasjeva, 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 wake up, Gatiya Anyata. He says, Harinam, Harinam, it is only by chanting the holy name. So by chanting the holy name, and that's what Prabhupada gave us, and we do chant, and something happens to us when we chant, right? Our consciousness is evolving, right? So because this is taking place, then we understand, yes, it must be true, what Prabhupada says. That's how I reconcile it in my mind. Like when I read about a Vishnu who, you know, there's pores coming out, the universe is coming out of pores, all these things. I think, well, yeah, it must be true because Prabhupada, who gave me this holy name and gave me this chanting and so forth, everything else he said has worked. Right? Prabhupada said, chant and be happy.
Yeah.
Right? We're happy, we're chanting, so it worked. Right? It works. So what's the problem? So then if it's the same scriptures which tell us that Lord Vishnu does that and mangoes do this and eagles do this, then what's the problem? It's not a big deal. And the other thing is that we're so small, what do we know anyway? Prabhupada said we're in the womb of our mother. I mean, what do we know? I don't know what's going on in the other planets. You know, the Bhagavatam tells us there's a civilization on the sun. So the Bhagavatam says there's a civilization on the sun. As far as I'm concerned, there is. Right? Because what do I know? I haven't been to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I know? Right? And the scientists say, well, there's not. We can't see it. And then Prabhupada says, well, that's easy. It's made of fire. You know, you're not evolved enough. You know, we can't live underwater. We're not fish. A fish can live underwater. I can't do that. A fish can. A bird can fly in the air. I can't do that. Right? Here's the body. So, if you know, it's just an extension of logic. And it's interesting because the Bhagavatam also makes a point that one must be in the mode of goodness to understand all of this. If one is in the mode of passion or mode of ignorance, he cannot understand these points. People are too challenged by these things because the lower modes, they cover the consciousness too much. So when one becomes at least a vegetarian and begins to come at least to the mode of goodness, then things begin to open up. Right? And then people can actually, their consciousness expands like that. So, does that? Okay.
On the same point you were talking, you're saying, we have left faith in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the lion and dragons were dancing in Jharikhand forest. So we have to believe it. Otherwise, dragon is such a good food for the lion, how can the rabbit be next to the lion? Impossible. But they are sleeping. It's written in the Ketan Tertam. So we have the faith in the Guru Swami. Then only we can advance in future life. Without explicit service of the spiritual master, we can never gain any strength. Impossible.
Even the new Nandagram was seeing the rabbit's dance. No, I was joking.
So, last question. Yesterday I was reading an email of Sankarshan Das Adhikari Prabhu. He sent that he really comes. One of the questions was someone asked him regarding Prabhupada being the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe. And Sankarshan Das Prabhupada did answer that, saying that yes, he's about Jesus and Muhammad and all the other gods, and he is the greatest spiritual master for the universe, like in the history of the universe. So how can we understand this?
How can we understand what?
Like how he is much higher than, you know, all the others.
I don't see him like that. I don't see Prabhupada as higher. I see him as equal. I don't see him as higher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him higher than Jesus. He's equal to Jesus. Same. Pure devotees don't, you know, my understanding is pure devotees don't, they don't see themselves as being superior to another like that. They see themselves as being the other devotees greater like that. So they're all pure devotees, like that. Jesus, Muhammad, Prabhupada, you know, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, they're all equal like that. I don't see them as being one is higher than one is greater. Yeah, Vasudev Dutta, Prabhupada also says the same thing. It's true, but what I'm saying is generally we should see pure devotees as being pure devotees. We don't say, you know, one is better than the other. It's not a good mentality to get into like that. That's just that my comment on it. But Prabhupada does write those things. He does say that Haridas Thakur is even more merciful than Jesus and like that. But who are we to make judgments? You know, we should, because then we become offensive to Lord Jesus. You know, Lord Jesus is Lord Jesus. He changed earth. You know, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur said he was a Shakya Vesh avatar. He changed the planet. You know, the planet would be a lot, Kali Yuga would be a lot more progressive if it wasn't for Lord Jesus coming. And Muhammad, and ultimately Prabhupada, like that. And Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, all of the great acharyas. Any other question or comment? I guess Srila Prabhupada ki jai.